poor Jesus. Here, our loving God sent his only begotten Son into this world, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. Jesus perfectly revealed God's truth and love through his words as well as through his deeds. He performed all of those miracles to show the love and power of God. Jesus showed compassion to all, not just Jew, but to Gentile, not just to the righteous, but to sinners. Now he's crucified. It seems like it's all out of control. Where is God? Consider those who thought they had control, that they usurped the power of God himself. Consider Pilate. Here Pilate was appointed the Roman governor of Judea. He was called to keep peace. He was called to uphold law and order. He was to ensure justice. However, instead of doing so, he simply washed his hands and condemned an innocent man. And then there were the Jewish leaders. Here they were to be the upright citizens of the Jewish people. They were only concerned about their own position, their own authority, and preserving that temple with all of its cultic practices. And so they plotted to destroy Jesus. Caiaphas himself said, "Better for one innocent man to die than to risk the whole nation." Didn't they understand what the prophets had foretold? Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies, and yet they took control to destroy Christ. And then there's the crowd. Oh, the wonderful crowds. Crowds are just so easy to blend into. There were the crowds when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish. The crowds when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. The crowds that said, "Hosanna in the highest," as he entered Jerusalem. And the crowds that then turned and said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Always easy to be part of the crowd, to do what everyone else does, to blend in and just become a big statistic. And then, sadly, there was Judas. Poor Judas, an apostle. Wonder what went wrong with him. Maybe he just didn't understand our Lord's gospel of love and truth. In the Last Supper, recall when our Lord announces he'll be betrayed, 11 of the apostles say, "Surely it is not I, Lord." But Judas says, "Surely it's not I, Rabbi." Big difference in perception. And now he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I guess he thought he accomplished his mission to assert his own power. But consider this, God indeed is in control. When we look at Jesus in the gospel, Jesus predicts to his apostles long before this that he is going to go to Jerusalem. He will be arrested, handed over, condemned, crucified, but rise again. There is a plan. And Jesus even said to Caiaphas before the Sanhedrin, "So you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming from heaven." Jesus says to Pilate, "You would have no power over me whatsoever unless it were given to you from above." God is in control. Because if we really read the four passion accounts closely, every sin is exposed for what it is. Every sin, pride, anger, greed, envy, gluttony, sloth, lust, and all the sins that derive therefrom. Sin is exposed for what it is. Yet, from that cross, our Lord shows the victory over sin. He looks out and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He forgives. Jesus says, "I thirst." He's thirsting for our love. Jesus also says, "My God, why have you abandoned me? Understand, this is the opening verse of Psalm 22, indicating our Lord's praying the whole psalm, which concludes in verse 20. You, O Lord, are not far from me. My help, hasten to aid me. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord and the justice he has shown. In the end, Jesus simply says, it is finished. Or in Latin, it is consummated. Consider this. Sin had estranged us from Almighty God. It would take that loving action of God to heal, to bring the reconciliation, to wed mankind back to God. And yet it would take an act of man. So Jesus, true God, became true man. And when he says, it's consummated, it's finished, the reconciliation has taken place. What happens in the temple? The veil that covers the Holy of Holies, 30 feet high, 4 inches thick, is ripped from top to bottom. It's like the hand of the Heavenly Father rips it in two and says, don't look here at this temple for your God. Don't come here to offer your Yom Kippur sacrifice of atonement. Don't come here to this physical place. Look at the cross. Look at the cross where Jesus is, my Son. For there you see the priest, the Lamb of sacrifice who frees us from the slavery of sin. There you see the real temple. And from our